This is Leo for KTWH, filling in for Katja Gordon this week with the chance to talk to Kenny Blumenfeld, our senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR. Welcome, Kenny, to the airwaves. We've got an interesting week just ending and a new one beginning, where we had folks across the U.S. to the east and south of Minnesota focused skyward for that total eclipse, while meanwhile locally we had our eyes on clouds that, at least in our neck of the woods, delivered a half an inch or more of rain earlier this week. We've had some balmy conditions. That's not that unusual considering the balminess of our winter. But Kenny, what kind of trends are emerging? It looks like we've got substantially more moisture on the way, and apparently south of us some pretty balmy temperatures. Can you make sense of it all, Kenny?
Yeah, sure. Good to be on. Happy Friday, everybody. And so the eclipse, you know, I think it, how astutely one observes the sky and the weather kind of determines how much you can get out of a sort of a partial eclipse like what we had. I look at the weather all the time. I'm looking out the window whenever I can, and I'm always, you know, whenever, at every moment, I'm checking out the sky. So I might maybe notice some things that other people who just sort of see the sky as a background maybe missed. We did have clouds moving in, you know, and rain over Minnesota for most of that period, as you mentioned. But it was, and the main eclipse, you know, the path of totality was, depending on where you are, you know, up to 1,000 miles away. So it wasn't really that close to us. But if you looked at a satellite image, like a satellite loop, you could actually see, using the product that's called Visible Satellite, which is great, because all Visible Satellite does, it's essentially a camera on a satellite image satellite in space that's essentially just detecting the light that's reflecting off of the Earth. So it doesn't show anything at night. And when it's cloudy, you see the reflection of the sun bouncing off of those clouds, and you can't see the darker Earth below. And when it's clear, you see, you know, you can actually see right to the ground. So it's basically like a black and white, you know, high resolution camera photo from space. That's how the visible satellite works. And what you could see was, as the eclipse tracked rapidly across the country, I mean, it didn't take very long. It was sort of went from southwest to northeast in, you know, a couple or a few hours total. So right. It's fast, much faster than a weather system. You could actually see the darkness expanding. And that was, it would shut the places in the path of totality off. Like, it basically turned them into night for a couple or a few minutes, as expected, as advertised. Most noticeable if the sun is out. You know, if the sun had been out, then you have the most noticeable effect.
Yep.
But what was interesting is, on the satellite, you could see the huge shadow that it cast. And it really did cover about 2/3 of the country, that shadow. And here, the light levels did drop detectably. It turned, you know, my colleague Pete said that some of the, you saw some lights go on, you know, like parking lots in the North Metro. And,
oh, really?
Out and about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the ones that go on automatic sensors.
Sure.
And he saw, you know, you would see it did drop to evening levels of light. It was sort of early to mid-evening levels, as opposed to overnight levels. But we still, you know, I was watching out the window, and of course this was being muddied a little bit by the fact that you had varying thickness of the clouds moving in too, and that definitely, those, you know, thickness of clouds will also filter extra light and make it appear darker. But there was, I would call it a 6-hour shift in the light, in the apparent lighting, where we went from clearly early afternoon into what seemed much more like early evening.
Huh.
So it went from the 1 o'clock, 1:30 p.m. sort of light to maybe 7 p.m., 7:30 p.m. light. Not dark,
right,
but darker.
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. And as you mentioned, we're in a, you know, we're in a transition right now between El Nino and La Nina. That's going to take a long time for us to really notice a difference. By and large, the pattern recently has continued to kind of favor the El Nino conditions, with most of the storms passing off to the south of the region. But every once in a while, you get that bump northward as the spring air mass starts setting up. And that's where we got precipitation last week. It looks like our big event is kind of going to start making its presence known. It's really going to, we're going to first feel it as warmth.
Yeah, on, this weekend, right?
This weekend. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks like an amazing weekend. I mean, granted, you know, at the beginning of a warm-up, Lake County and Cook County are usually the last in line, right? I mean, just your geographical gift, right?
Yep. Some cool water to our east. It doesn't help. Yeah.
I mean, the good news is when the cold air arrives, you're always the first to find out. So, you know, it goes the other way.
That's right. We're harbingers of something. Winter.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always early adopters. So we have a warm air mass moving in. This is basically in front of a low pressure system. Just quick refresher. Low pressure systems are these large patterns with lower pressure in the middle, meaning the air is essentially moving upwards in the middle. And then as you get farther and farther from the middle of these things, the air is rising less and less. And when you get to the end, it's actually sinking. That differential pressure is in and of itself enough to kind of totally affect the winds. And we're talking about a low pressure system that's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles across from the center to the east side, from the center to the south side is another hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
So these things can actually span, you know, half of the U.S. or more. And so the first kind of boot of this large, kind of complicated multiple day low pressure system, it's going to push warm air into Minnesota. I think that one side effect, you know, whenever the air mass changes, it, you know, just like everything in nature, boundaries are kind of where it's at, right? So if you like scuba diving or snorkeling, then you know how important the change in depth is near, say, a reef or something like that. You get lots of biodiversity. Landscape boundaries are always really interesting because you have wildlife, you know, accustomed to, say, forest areas on one side and wildlife accustomed to prairie areas on the other side. And the same is true meteorologically. When you're on the edges of air masses or near their boundaries, that's where all the kind of cool stuff happens. So as the warm air is moving into the region, I'm probably going to see some showers and thunderstorms. I wouldn't be surprised if you get some this weekend over northeast Minnesota, well before any of the rest of us see precipitation. Not all day soakers or anything like that, but as the warm air is moving up from the south, it's gonna ride up and over the colder air that's in place. This is just how warm air advection or how warm fronts work. And that upward motion is usually enough to generate some clouds and some precipitation. And when you have a powerful low pressure system, it can generate some, you know, heavier showers of rain or maybe some thunderstorms. So maybe some activity Saturday night into Saturday afternoon into Sunday morning, I would say isolated to scattered as opposed to widespread. And then even warmer air sort of attempting to move in Sunday.
Okay.
You know, Sunday and Monday, we'll see how far north it gets. But, you shouldn't have to go far from Two Harbors to get temperatures in the 60s this weekend. A couple changes that we've seen in some of the forecast models the next, you know, going into Monday and Tuesday is it looks like this weather system is maybe going to take a slightly farther south path, more of a winter storm type of trajectory, except that it's late April, so you don't really have much winter to worry about. Not late April. It's late in the spring. Yeah.
We'll take every day of April we can get, Kenny. So
yeah. Yeah, basically, you know, you're going to get a soaking of something, yep. Probably rain, from especially Monday night into, say, Tuesday night, Wednesday, and then, you right. know, we're still several days away. Cooler conditions following that, and, you know, maybe some snow on the backside as you get into the middle of next week. That, you know, we're still watching that. There's yes. kind of a second push.
It was you that said the S word, and that was one of the things I wanted to ask you, because it's April, and we're certainly yep. not out of the mix for potentially a little more snow, I'm sure. Nothing of, well, you'll tell me whether it's something to substantial to worry about, but I assume it's overnight to be melted soon thereafter.
Probably, but you're right. I mean, so if one of the complexities of this low pressure system is it's kind of coming out in multiple waves. We don't really know. So you've got this big sprawling thing that's centered over, let's just say, Colorado and Wyoming. And it's in and of itself, it's not moving all that much because it's attached to this big upper level disturbance in the middle of the atmosphere that can't make a lot of progress for several days. So instead what happens is these little impulses that are of disturbed weather get kicked out from it. And that's really going to start showing up. First one will be, you know, Saturday night and Sunday, and that's where those possible showers and thunderstorms up in northern Minnesota come in. And then the main wave looks like it comes out on Tuesday, but there're going to be remnant systems with colder air
yep.
coming through Wednesday and Thursday, and we don't know how strong those will be, but that's where we're seeing the chance for snow and even accumulating snow in northeast Minnesota. So if I had to say it now, we're out of time, I would say, okay, Two Harbors area is going to have a great early weekend, then you're going to have some showers and thunderstorms, you're going to have a much cooler and wetter first half of the week, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some accumulating snow by, say, Wednesday or Thursday of next week.
Well, that's quite a buffet of weather that you've taken us through for just the next 5 or 6 days, Kenny. We'll be back next week, I suppose, to hear whether we're warming up and drying out or keeping that soil moisture replenishment coming. Either way, plenty to talk about. And I thank you for joining us, Kenny. You're right. We're up against the clock, and I thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leo. I hope everyone has a great weekend, and I'll talk to, I don't know if it's you or Katya next week, but
I think
have a great
week.
Katya
will be back, and thanks so much. Take care, Kenny. Bye now.
Okay, take care. We'll see you.
Kenny Blumenfeld, Senior Climatologist with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.